Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total
when you use code LEGACY at monarch.com.
That's monarch.com. Promo code LEGACY. Monarch, the modern way to manage money. Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025.
Get 50% off your first year when you use code TARGET at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code TARGET.
Monarch, the modern way to manage money.
Hi, I'm Robin.
And I'm Chris. Together we're the Gen X couple.
Hi, guys.
Take five. Maturity, what? Not my fault.
One was Chris's fault and four were my fault because I can't stop stumbling over my words today. I don't know what my issue is, but let's try this again. But for you guys, it's the first time. And today, I am super excited because we are diving into the eerie world of cursed objects, which are items so steeped in legend and misfortune that they have become infamous. From stolen gems to eerie dolls, these objects have left a trail of misfortune, bad luck, and in some cases, even death. Are these curses real, or is it just coincidence? Let's find out.
First up, let's talk about the most famous cursed gems in the world, the Hope Diamond.
The Hope Diamond is a stunning 45.52 carat deep blue diamond with a history as dark as its color. Its origins trace back to the 17th century when it was allegedly stolen from the eye of a Hindu idol in India. I just heard you yawn. I bet the microphone just picked up that yawn. If you heard that, that was Chris yawning. Anyway, legend has it that the act of theft placed a curse upon the stone and anyone who possessed it. French gem trader Jean-Baptiste Tavernier acquired the diamond and sold it to King Louis, what is XIV? Is that 14?
Yes.
Or is that?
No, that's 14.
Ah, yes. I haven't looked at a Roman numeral since, what, fifth grade? So I'm glad I got that right. King Louis XIV of France in 1668. But the curse seemed to follow. King Louis's reign ended in hardship, and many of his descendants, including Louis the 16th?
Yes.
Yes. And Marie Antoinette met their end at the guillotine. Is it a coincidence? Maybe. Maybe not. Over the centuries, the diamond changed hands multiple times. Each owner seemed to meet a tragic fate, from financial ruin to untimely deaths. American socialite Evelyn Walsh McLean, who was one of the private owners of the Hope Diamond, faced immense personal tragedies, including the death of her son and the institutionalization of her husband.
Eventually, Harry Winston, a renowned jeweler, acquired the stone and, possibly fearing the curse, donated to the Smithsonian Institution in 1958. Today, the Hope Diamond is on display at the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C., where it continues to mesmerize and maybe even haunt some visitors.
We've seen this several times.
We have.
And I honestly had no idea that it was even a cursed object until I started researching stuff to put in this podcast, which is obviously very recently. I'm pretty sure I have a picture of it, or at least a couple of pictures of it on my phone from our last trip, which was it 2024 that we were there?
Yes.
With my dad and my aunt. Yeah, I'll have to upload it. Although it's in a glass case, so there might be a glare, but I'll find it and upload it onto Instagram. But now let's move on to something even creepier, the Annabelle doll, which has inspired the entire Conjuring universe.
Unlike the porcelain doll seen in the movies, the real Annabelle is a Raggedy Ann doll.
Didn't it just get bought by some comedian? What's his name?
I think it was Matt Strife.
Oh, is it Strife or Rife?
Rife, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he just bought the doll. I don't know who would want this doll, because this doll is legit cursed, but carry on.
In the 1970s, two nursing students, Donna and Angie, received Annabelle as a gift. But almost immediately, strange things started happening. The doll would change positions, move from one room to another, and even leave a handwritten note saying, "Help me."
Yeah. Terrifying. A psychic medium claimed that the doll was possessed by the spirit of a young girl named Annabelle Higgins, but things took a darker turn when a male friend of the students, Lou, I don't know his last name, I could probably find it, I don't know why I didn't put that down in my notes, but anyway, poor Lou started experiencing terrifying encounters. He was reportedly attacked by an unseen force that actually left claw marks on his body. Paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren, if you guys are into the paranormal community, those names are very, very familiar to you. They were called in and quickly determined that the doll was not inhabited by a child spirit, but rather a demonic entity. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with Ed and Lorraine Warren, they were world-renowned paranormal investigators and authors associated with some of the most famous hauntings in history. Ed was a demonologist, while Lorraine was a clairvoyant and medium. Together, they founded the New England Society for Psychic Research, also known as NESPR, in 1952, and they investigated cases including the Amityville Horror and the Perrin family haunting, both of which inspired major films. The Perrin family lived in the Conjuring House in Rhode Island. Actually, Ed and Lorraine, they were either from Rhode Island or Connecticut, but they were from New England.
Yes.
And the Warrens took Annabelle to their occult museum in Connecticut at the time, and they placed it in a glass case that bore the ominous warning, "Positively do not open." Despite the museum currently being closed to the public, there's other stuff down there. And Annabelle has been on tour. And like we said, Matt Rife bought her recently. Didn't somebody die in Chicago too, not too long ago?
One of the handlers.
Yeah. But didn't he open the case?
Yes.
You don't open the case. There's a reason they had that warning on there. Whether you believe it or not, why would you even try to find out? Don't mess around with this stuff, because we just don't know.
And anyway, if Annabelle wasn't chilling enough, let's talk about Robert the Doll.
Yes.
A century-old toy that has been blamed for years of misfortune. Robert belonged to a boy named Robert Eugene Otto in Key West, Florida. The doll, dressed in a sailor suit, was reportedly gifted to young Robert by a servant who practiced voodoo. Soon after, strange occurrences began. The child would blame the doll for mishaps, claiming it moved on its own. Neighbors swore they saw the doll change expressions and even move from window to window when no one was home.
Yeah, and after Otto's death in 1974, the doll was donated to the Fort East Martello Museum in Key West still, where it remains today. Visitors claim that they experience bad luck if they take a photo of Robert without asking for his permission first. Some have even written apology letters to Robert in hopes of reversing their misfortune. In fact, inside the museum, you can actually see hundreds of postcards and letters with apologies to Robert. Chris and I have met Robert the doll, and I do have a picture of him that I will post to Instagram. And yes, I did ask permission before I took the picture. I'm not taking any chances with that stuff. We had done a couple of ghost tours when we were in Key West, and this was before COVID. Actually, it was probably, what, like 2016-ish?
Yes.
And we did a couple of ghost tours, and they took us by the house where Robert lived before he was donated to the museum. And they tell the stories about how neighbors could see him walking around on his own and stuff like that. And I will post that picture to Instagram, and I hope you enjoy it, because you should have permission to look at it, because I had permission to take it.
So next on our list is an object with deep roots in Jewish folklore.
You're going to mess up the how to pronounce this.
The
Dybbuk.
Dybbuk box. This wine cabinet was purchased at an estate sale in 2001.
An estate sale?
By Kevin Manis, an antique shop owner. Upon opening it, he experienced a series of terrifying events, including nightmares, illness, and strange shadowy figures appearing in his peripheral vision.
Close enough. Manis later learned that the box was said to contain a Dybbuk, which is a restless and malevolent spirit from Jewish folklore. Each new owner of the box reported similar eerie experiences, including sudden illness, loss of loved ones, and unexplainable disturbances. The Dybbuk box was eventually acquired by Zach Bagans. You guys know him as the paranormal investigator behind Ghost Adventures, the show, which is an awesome show. And the Dybbuk box now resides in his haunted museum in Las Vegas, where visitors report an overwhelming sense of dread in its presence.
So finally, we have the Busybod stoop chair.
I don't know what you just said. It's the Busby stoop chair.
Busby stoop chair.
That wasn't even close.
A seemingly innocent wooden chair with a deadly reputation. In 1702, Thomas
Busby,
a convicted murderer, was sentenced to hang. As legend has it, before his execution, he cursed his favorite chair, claiming that anyone who sat in it would meet an ultimate, untimely death. Over the years, multiple people who sat in the chair reportedly died shortly after, including soldiers, workers, and even a cleaning lady. The chair now resides at the Turks Museum in England, where it is hung high
T-H-I-R-S-K,
on a wall to prevent anyone from sitting in it.
Okay. So what do you guys think? Are these objects really cursed, or is it just a mix of coincidence and superstition? No matter what you believe, their stories continue to intrigue and terrify people around the world. If you ever get the chance to see one of these objects in person, just remember, don't touch it.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's it for today's episode. If you have enjoyed this deep dive into cursed objects, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. Have a spooky story of your own? Reach out to us on social media or email us at thegenxcouplepodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, stay scary, stay curious.
Or you can stay scary too.
Yeah. And maybe keep your distance from haunted dolls.
Yes, most definitely do that.
And see you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile. See how I paused like you did? I was trying to copy you. Bye, guys.